The Positude Podcast, a one-hour show dedicated to bringing you joy and balance and happiness to you and to negate the negativity in your life.
Hello world, hear the song that we're singing. Come on, get happy.
We'll make you happy. Hello and welcome to the Positude Podcast. My name is Ira Robinson. As always, we're here with Maggie Hart. Hello, Maggie.
Hi, Ira. How are you? Sounds like you're in a really good mood tonight.
We're really happy.
We're a little crazy, folks.
And you're welcome to come with us down the crazy train.
Absolutely. Red pill, blue pill. Right?
Indeed.
Rascal says.
You got it.
I miss old Rascal anyway. I miss all those guys on the network.
He's doing great. Definitely. He's having a good old time lately.
Awesome. For anybody out there who's listening, please tap into LNM Radio Network, www.lnmnetwork.com. Is it, Ira?
LNMRadioNetwork.com.
There you go. And Ira's is www.openeyesnetwork.com. And give them a listen. There's some really cool shows. I actually have a problem with my, I can't sign into the chat room lately, so I haven't been in there for a while. But I miss everybody and send my love out there over the airwaves to all of you and all of the other hosts, too, that do the shows on those networks. We don't get paid for this, guys. We do this just for you. So it's a lot of fun and we enjoy it, but it's all for the listeners' benefit. And these networks both run solely on donations. So if you have a few bucks and you can send it to them, they'd be greatly appreciative for sure.
You bet.
So having said that, we'll jump right into tonight's first story, Veterans Affairs. And this one's about a veteran, Stephen Adams. He's from Ohio. And it was a strange course of events that went for him. There was a day that he actually missed a doctor's call. He had an appointment scheduled for a doctor visit, and for whatever reason, he missed the call saying that they canceled his appointment. So he was traveling down a road that he normally wouldn't be on, and he had heard a news broadcast, I guess, about a child who had been kidnapped. And he ended up right behind the vehicle of the person who had abducted the child. And, you know, God only knows what would have happened to this little girl. But again, by some small miracle, this gentleman, Stephen, recognized the plate number and the make and model of the vehicle and called into the 911. And they verified that it was the plate number of the vehicle who had been suspected of stealing the child. And so he actually followed them, and the little girl was waving to him in the back window, and he followed the car and was able to get the police involved. And so they were able to abduct the person who took this little girl, and her name is, I think, Brooklyn Enix. And he was able to save her. And I just thought that was very cool story, number one, because he was a veteran and, you know, he was able to do something for the small child and get this child safely back to her family when, you know, as I said earlier, God knows what would have happened to this little girl if he hadn't intervened and been paying attention. And I really feel like veterans are like cops that way. They have a heightened sense of awareness because of the training that they've had in the military.
Yep.
And so I really feel that it's because of that, that he was aware of the situation, pays attention to plate numbers and vehicles and things like that, just because he had to in wartime, you know, for self-defense. So that was a wonderful story.
That really is. I've encountered a lot of different people like that, what you're discussing there, where they've remained that ever vigilant type of person. And, you know, a lot of people out there, they bash veterans, but to me, I think they're one of the most valuable resources that we have, to say the least. And I think that they should be treated a lot better than what they get treated now, especially by the government that told them that they would be taken care of. I'd like to toss out here real quick. There's a Facebook group that I'm a member of. They do really great work. They're called Stop the 22 a Day. They're dedicated to helping veterans and anybody really with PTSD, but they're kind of specifically geared towards veterans because 22 veterans a day commit suicide after coming back or, you know, going through the things that they go through. So this group is dedicated to helping them, and they themselves are veterans with PTSD. So it's not just, you know, a random therapist that you'd be talking to. You'd be talking to somebody that has been right there where you've been and gone through what you've gone through. And they're there at a moment's notice for you. So Stop the 22 a Day. That's the Facebook group. We'll have the link for it on the show notes. So
wonderful. Wonderful. Yes, definitely. Our veterans are not taken care of the way that they were promised. And I can speak for that from personal experience because of the things that I've seen my dad go through, you know, being promised benefits and that haven't come through. And, you know, just many, many different instances of homeless veterans, especially, that really, really bothers me.
Yeah, there's need for it.
No, there really isn't. And we won't go down that political road. But let me just say briefly that I feel very, very strongly that before we're giving money to outside countries, we should be taking care of our own. And again, you know, help each other. You know, if you see something like that, you never know if a homeless person has served and protected the country for you, for your personal freedom. You don't know what that person's situation is. You don't know how they became homeless. So please, whatever the circumstances, try and help our fellow brothers and sisters.
And you never know. You may actually not be here if it was not for that person.
Absolutely.
We don't know that trail of breadcrumbs that leads to you being right here in this moment. It very well could have been that way.
I agree 100%. The next segment that I have for you tonight is Think Outside the Raggedy Box. And the last week, the first one, the introduction, we did kind of like an article on different things that you could do to expand your thought process. And one of the reasons I came up with this segment is because I'd like for people to maybe have a broadened sense of awareness or just a respect for others or think a little deeply, more deeply rather, on issues that normally would be just a happenstance occurrence and try and respect others' beliefs and opinions. And the topic that I chose for tonight is how well do you listen? And the reason that I chose this topic is because in the course of my correspondence with my clients this week, it seems like this week particularly, there's been a rise in complaints of spouses and boyfriends and girlfriends where they don't feel that their partner pays attention to them or listens to them. So let's say, for example, on a very simple level, you know, a wife will say to her husband, you know, don't forget we need milk on the way home. Would you mind picking it up? It'll be like, yeah, sure, I'll pick it up, whatever. And then she'll say to him on the way out the door, okay, honey, don't forget to get that milk on the way home. No, I'll grab it. I won't forget. Well, the kids need, you know, milk for cereal tomorrow. No, no, I won't forget. I'll remember the milk. And then the guy comes home without the milk. And you're like, what? You know, so paying attention to what other people have to say to us is very important for a couple of reasons. Number one, you're validating how they feel if it's an emotional issue that they're discussing with you. And, you know, everybody wants to feel important and to feel validated. And so when you're having a discussion with your girlfriend, wife, coworker, whatever, if you would just take an extra minute to think about what they're saying and look at their body language and the tone of voice that they're saying it to you, I think that'll go a long way in understanding the other person's perception of what they're bringing to the table. And it'll also allow you two to become closer because you'll be able to sense and gain a sense of awareness of how they feel just by sometimes a lot of the things that are not really even said so much as unsaid. And then just on a very basic level as well, too, if we could just take a little bit of extra time, we're so busy and it's very hectic for all of us. So many of us run from the moment we get up until the moment that we go to bed, but try and pay attention to, you know, when people say something to you. I know for one, I get very, very frustrated when I will say something and repeat myself four or five times. And then the person that I'm speaking to will turn around and say, what, huh? Or you know, 2 hours later, oh, geez, something very important, I forgot. You know, whether it be a person in your workplace or a partner or a child, if we could just be more open to that and just take a few seconds to really listen to what they're saying and validate them, make them feel important, because you don't want to be ignored in the course of a conversation. You don't want to be told what you want to hear just simply to hear a yes, because that's the answer that you're anticipating. We all don't want to, you know, nobody wants to feel that way. So that's kind of what I had for you tonight.
It's sort of a simple matter of respect of the fact that this other person is a human being too.
Absolutely.
Just acknowledging the simple fact that they're a human being that deserves to be listened to just as much as you do. Whether you agree with a person or not, they still need to be respected for the fact that they have their own thought process and their own ways of thinking. And so, especially somebody that you are in a relationship with, you know, this person has chosen to take their life and the opportunity to be with you. That was a sacrifice on their part. They're dedicating themselves to you. So the least that you could do in return is listen when they're speaking.
Yeah, and make them feel important.
Exactly. You
know? And I've heard this a couple times this week too. Well, I just told that person what they wanted to hear. Don't ever do that. That's never, ever a good idea.
No.
Always be honest with the person. You know, there are many ways to approach a topic. We don't have to scream and yell and raise our voices to get our point across. A lot of times if we take a deep breath and separate ourselves from the situation and look at it kind of as an outsider, we can lend a bit more of, what's the word I want, Ira? We can lend a little bit of casual observance, you know, to the situation and look at something as an outsider.
Yeah.
And
say, well, you know, the bird's eye view, the outside perspective.
Yeah,
of things.
Yeah, I can kind of understand how you're feeling. And, you know, it allows you to give yourself a different type of perception as well, you know, as opposed to rather when you're in the heat of a battle, you know, or in the heat of discussion, you know, your emotions take over, you're not thinking clearly. And that's how things get said that can really hurt somebody else's feelings, you know, so.
But I like to yell and scream.
That's just because you're half deaf.
That's true.
There's that too. So for the to-do list for you for this week, very simple. Again, you know, the first Sunday of the month, we do something for others. This week is geared toward you. And I'd like for you just to spend 1 hour in quiet time. We touched on this before in some previous episodes, but we don't take enough time for ourselves. And that would, though, include no electronics. And that's going to be a difficult one, I think, for a lot of us.
But I love my electronics, Maggie. I can't live without it. I am intimately interconnected with the internet. You don't understand.
Yeah, he's hardwired to the computer. Folks, I have no idea. But anyway, so this one will be a really difficult task for you, Ira. So I will be very happy to hear how you make out when you tell me successful.
I'll be your guinea pig for this one. That's for sure.
So yeah, just shut off all your phones, all the television, the radio, everything. Go into a dark, quiet room, go out in the woods, whatever, you know, wherever your choice is to be, and just meditate, pray if you pray, relax, let the energy flow through you and see what messages, if any, you receive. At least 1 hour of total quiet should be experienced at least once daily. But if we could all at least try it once a week to start and then work it into your schedule as much as possible, even if it's 15 minutes a day, you know, it would do wonders for you, for your mind, for your body, your soul. It allows you to connect with spirit and for you to clearly receive messages. And we're doing tonight is the third Sunday of the month, so we do the meditation at the end of the night. That might be a great way for you to start that. That's already 45 minutes left after you do the meditation that you have to be quiet. And, you know, I realize that the meditation involves an electronic device here, but I'm trying to give you people a little bit of a leeway here. So that's kind of why I came up with that. I just feel that I know for one, I have instances where my spidey senses are going crazy and I've got Aunt Gertrude who walks in over in the corner. And I'm trying to answer emails or messages or Skype or text. And, you know, I've got energies flowing all over the place. I'm getting intuition. And I've really tried to focus on just that little bit of quiet time to clear my mind and allow whatever messages that need to come through to me to come through, whether it be from your angels or your spirit guides or a deceased relative, or just to have that hour of peace to clear your mind and think about nothing. It will do your body good. And I think you'll really be happy with the results. But it is most definitely a challenge.
So what would you recommend for people like me that have a mind that just never shuts up?
That's why I suggested, even though we're not supposed to use electronic devices, is that at the end of the show, you know, when you replay this for yourself, take that 15 minutes, get into that meditative state, and then kind of maybe set your alarm for an hour. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just get yourself to relax. I think that you're one of those guys that needs like a CD or some sort of guidance to get you into the flow. But I really feel intuitively that once you're in the flow, you'll be able to go with it. In fact, a lot of people find themselves drifting off in meditative states, and that's okay. Your mind's still working while you're sleeping on resolving issues. You're still doing work while you sleep, believe it or not, unconsciously and subconsciously. You have no idea.
What I find works really well for somebody like me, you know, I was kind of joking halfway because I do know how to solve my own issue with it. But one of the things that I found that works for me is rhythmic drumming, like Indian drumming, you know, Native American drumming. That really gets me going. And it may be the connection that I have with my own, you know, the fact that I'm Native American myself, that might be a partial reason for that. But there's something with the way that it will sync your hemispheres together, you know, and let you get into that mode of just, you know, a focus on something. And it lets your mind be quiet for a minute, you know. Another thing that I do is I write. And when I write, I do things more of a stream of consciousness type of writing instead of having a conscious thought of what I'm writing down. It just kind of flows out. It just all over the paper or all over the computer or whatever the case may be. So that's to me a form of meditation as well. That's my quiet time, you know.
That's really cool too. And journaling is always a good idea. It helps you express emotions that actually come to the surface you may not have known that you actually had until you start to journal and those feelings start to come out and they start to flow. It's a really good way to get out suppressed feelings.
It's a very cathartic kind of experience. Yes.
It absolutely is. I love to journal. And it's a really good thing if you dream a lot too, to keep a dream journal. And so that a lot of times, like when I see something, I'm usually awake when I have my visions, but a lot of them also come to me first thing in the morning as I'm waking, and I'm not always as cognizant without that first cup of coffee. So I find if I write it down, then when I sit and reflect on it later, I'm not missing pieces of the puzzle, or, you know, if there's a catchphrase that's given to me or a particular word that they want me to look up, you know, I don't miss it because I've written it down. And a lot of people, when you dream, if you wake up in the night and you write it down, then in the morning, you won't forget that dream. And it also helps with your recollection process as well, believe it or not.
It absolutely does.
So then we have, just to kind of mix it up this week, we have Holistically Healthy. And the third week, we're going to do Vital Veggies. The first week is an herb. And the second week of the month, we'll do the vegetables. And this week, just because I'm Italian and I planted some, I'm going to go with tomatoes. So, tomatoes, ketchup, tomato sauce, tomato paste. Anything more than two times a week can reduce the risk of prostate cancer by 21 to 43%, according to Dr. Edward Giovannucci, a Paisan of the Harvard University of School of Holistic, or School of Public Health, rather. Tomatoes are just very good for you in general.
They are awesome for the heart.
Yeah, and there's something in them called lycopene.
Yes.
Which helps to prevent prostate cancer. And it's absorbed into the body when accompanied by your dietary fats, lipids. So cooking tomatoes in oil encourages intestinal absorption and results in a 2 to 3-fold rise in plasma lycopene concentration, says Dr. Giovannucci. I love that.
Have you ever
say his name like five times? Giovannucci.
Have you
that.
Ever noticed with plants how there are really weird correlations between how they look and what effects they have on the body? So like avocados are really good for the female reproductive system, and they look like you know, when they're sliced or anything like that, they look like they could be a part of that system. Tomatoes are really good for the heart. And when you cut them open, they look like the chambers of a heart, you know, on and on and on. It's really bizarre how nature works, isn't it?
I never thought of that. That's really cool.
There's a lot of correlations along those lines. Yeah, there's dozens of examples that I could get.
I'll have to go around cutting up stuff around my house and see what I can find. But that's really awesome. I never, ever thought of that. Very cool. Tomato products are also very beneficial in aggressive cancers that have spread to other parts of the body. And it's just good for a lot of reasons. I've read that it's anti-inflammatory. Have you read that too, Ira?
Yes, they are, definitely.
Okay, good. And they're high in vitamin A, vitamin C, calcium, and potassium. So if you don't like bananas, there's your source of potassium, calcium. I have an aversion to oranges. I was raised all my life on orange juice and oranges, and I can't eat them anymore. So it's a good way for me to get some vitamin C into my body.
Yep.
And you know, there are so many different recipes out there for tomatoes. I mean, it's one of the, I think, one of the most versatile vegetables out there.
They're good as well to help you quit smoking because there is some nicotine in tomatoes. So if you're trying to quit smoking and you're having a nicotine fit, you can eat a few tomatoes or eat some cherry tomatoes or something like that.
And, for real?
It'll help to assuage a little bit of the nic fit.
Wow, that's really cool. I didn't know that either.
Yep.
You are just a fountain of information this week, Ira. Love you, buddy.
You too.
Oh, boy. We have so much fun with this show, folks. I hope you guys enjoy it as much as we do because we just have a blast being able to give this to you a couple of times a month. It's so much fun. And you know what? We always talk like a half hour before and like 45 minutes after.
Yep.
So it's a visit we get too, which is really cool. And then we go into the fantastic food recipes. And this week, I chose a recipe that I use that's been in my family for many years. A lot of different Italian families have different versions of this, but the one that I do is it's a tomato and cucumber salad, actually. And both of these things I grow in my garden. So I literally cannot wait for my fruit to start producing and for garden season to come because fresh tomatoes to make sauce. I mean, it's just a totally different texture, a different taste than the tomatoes that you get, you know, either from a hot house from the store or from, you know, a different state that's been sitting on the back of a truck and chemically, you know, sprayed and GMO and all that other stuff. But tomato and cucumber salad, Italian style, is what I chose to use this week as our recipe. And it's very easy to make. You can do as big or as small of a serving, you know, whether it's one person or eight. But just a basic recipe, you can take 2 to 3 whole tomatoes, sliced. I usually slice them about 1/4 inch thick. Some people cube them and chunk them, but I prefer them sliced. 2 cucumbers, peeled and sliced, also about 1/4 inch thick. Some chopped fresh garlic. You can use a clove or more, depending on taste. And then just some salt, pepper, sugar, oregano, and parsley. And I usually do like 1/4 to 1/2 teaspoon of salt. Same with the pepper. I usually do about 1 teaspoon of sugar, 1/2 teaspoon to 1 teaspoon, depending on who's coming over, rather, because I do have some diabetics in my family. And then just sprinkle some oregano and parsley over the top, and then mix that all together, and then take 2 tablespoons of, I use the extra virgin, but olive oil, and then some balsamic vinegar. And that, you can also use red wine vinegar. I prefer the balsamic. And just like 2 splashes of that, just like splash it on. And again, that can be, you know, a taste preference. If you want to add more, once you stir it, go ahead. And then I usually take 1/4 small onion diced. I like the red Vidalia sweet for this salad. And then if you choose, you can also, if you like fresh mozzarella, you can get the mozzarella balls from the local deli department, or if you're lucky enough to have a real Italian store, which I haven't had here in years. But if you're close to the city and you're somewhere where you can get fresh mozzarella, you can take it and just eat the little balls, or you can cube it up and also throw that in there if you like. And you just mix it all together, refrigerate it for 2 hours, and you're good to go. It's great. I make a meal out of this some nights.
So what's really funny with you doing this recipe is for the past, I don't know, about 1.5, 2 months now, Jalene has been doing exactly this recipe every morning when she goes to work as her lunch.
Isn't that cool?
And I'll tell you what, she said that since she started doing it, she feels great. It's really been helping her out a lot. And she gets energy for the whole day, basically, with it. She loves it. So Which, funnily enough, she doesn't like cucumbers. So.
Well, you can do just tomatoes. That's fine.
Well, no. She loves the fact that the cucumbers are in there. You know, this is like the only way that she likes cucumbers besides being pickled.
Well, I think the vinegar and the oil, you know, and the spices really add to it.
It does.
And so
yeah.
It does. I mean, they soak up the cucumbers, especially. They're a very watery vegetable. And for some reason, they seem to soak up the balsamic really, really well.
Yep.
And so it's just, I love it. Like I said, I can live off of it all summer. And I'm just really thankful for the fact that I'm rubbing off on Jolie. Better look out, Ira.
Indeed.
You don't know what we're doing behind your back over there. There could be other things.
You could be right.
You in trouble.
Indeed. Always.
If you go out and take a walk or whatever and come home and she's got one of those sleeveless aprons on with the two pockets and the pearl buttons, you know, like that we used to, my grandmothers and stuff in the city, my aunts, they used to, I don't know if they were like from Ames or whatever, the department stores, they used sleeveless aprons and with like the pearlized snap up buttons, you know, and you got the one pocket for your cigarettes because back then everybody smoked and the other pocket for whatever, your house keys. Do you guys have those in Indiana?
We do. Yep.
You do?
Yep.
Well, the Italian women all wore them. So, you know. Signs are coming. You better watch it, buddy.
I'll watch for her crocheting something together like that.
For real. Don't want to make me one. So do you want to go into the comedy corner?
We can indeed. We'll take a little break here and have a few more laughs with you guys. You guys are listening to the Positude Podcast. Hopefully you guys are enjoying tonight as much as we are. And we'll catch you on the other side.
We never went to the grocery store. We grew it. Right in the backyard, beautiful tomato, string bean. All right, little zucchini, you want some fruit? You picked it off the tree. But at night, we found out something was going on in our garden. There was a little raccoon, something was nibbling on my father's tomatoes, okay? It's a big deal. We had a family meeting about it. Most American families, they'll call up Orkin. We'll just call Orkin. They'll come set up some traps. Then they release the animal back into the wild so it could reunite with its family. My father's like, listen, we're going to murder this mother. We're going to put antifreeze on bologna. What? Why, Papa? Why? Because it eats the intestines. That's why. Now go get the antifreeze in the garage. We're going to make a sandwich for our friends tonight. Woke up in the morning, birds, squirrels, raccoons, murdered all over the property. Neighbors coming by, have you seen our cat? Nah, we haven't seen sh**. Does it like bologna? We sent the message. Okay? Trap don't send the message. Antifreeze makes it clear. We ain't playing around with our zucchinis. Okay? Prince, remember when this guy first came out? 4'2"? 4'2" with high heels. I didn't even question that. Purple Rain? The movie? Changed my life. Remember that motorcycle he had? 8 times too big for me? Remember when he pulled up to Lake Minnetonka? He's sitting on his bike with that black jumpsuit, that mane for a hairdo, that shit around the mouth, whatever the hell that was. His little boots. Size 2 boots.
Apollonia? Apollonia was this guy's girlfriend's name. Could you imagine meeting this couple at a party? Like, hey, how you doing? My name's Prince. This is Apollonia. What's your name? You're like, shit, I gotta go change it. What do you come back with? My name's John. This is Carol. What the hell are you? Are those mini boots? What do you have? That lace around your wrists? Who are you? I wanted to be Prince. I'd walk around my house out of nowhere. Dearly beloved. Dearly beloved. My mother would be like, what the hell did you just say? Mother, I said, dearly beloved. Now what do we got? American Idol? Some idiot from Montana singing a song in his t-shirt with his entire family in the front row telling America to vote. Vote! Vote for our child so we can all have a better life. Fuck your kid. He stinks. Put him in the trunk.
What'd you think of my buddy Sal? He's pretty cool.
I love that guy.
I discovered him by accident on one of like the Facebook Italian sites I'm on, and I just fell in love with this guy. He makes me roll every time I hear him, and I don't care what he talks about. It's funny. You know what I mean? I love him.
We got to go get some bologna. We got to end his life.
He kills me every time.
I love it.
Wonderful.
Thank you for introducing me to somebody new. I love it.
Oh, man. He's got tons and tons of videos. He will keep you busy for hours, and we will be using those in the future. Trust me.
He's great.
I know. I love that guy. Okay. The next part that we have for this evening is memorable. You got to watch this movies. And this is going to be on the third show of the month, a suggested movie that is uplifting or motivating, positive, something that's got a really cool theme to it that makes you feel good. And this time I chose also another older one like last time, but The Pursuit of Happiness with Will Smith. And the premise behind it is it's set in 1981 in San Francisco. And a salesman, Chris Gardner, played by Will Smith, invests the family savings in osteonational bone density scanners, which is, it's this big piece of equipment that's twice as expensive as an x-ray machine, but it makes a clear image, and, you know, he's convinced it's going to take over the world, and, you know, they're going to be famously rich. And of course it doesn't happen that way. He loses his shirt essentially. And as a result of that, it causes personal problems with he and his wife. She ends up leaving him and going to New York to take a job like in a pizza pub or something. And his son decides to stay with him because his wife and he both realize that Chris will be able to take care of the child better than she could. So now he's got no money, no wife, and his son. And he's trying to get in to see a stockbroker for an interim position at Dean Witter, which will give him a better stable career. And, you know, in at the end of a six-month training period, he goes through a lot of hardship while he's going through this, both personally and professionally. He thinks he's got enough money, rather, to get by so that he and his child can live for a couple of months. And then he finds out that the government took the last $600 that he had in his bank account for taxes. He doesn't have a place to live. And he's at one point, he's like staying in a bathroom at a train station or something. And then he's got to go back and forth to work every day. Because he's got to be back with his child by 5 o'clock for this to the shelter. Because if you're there after 5 o'clock, you can't be assured a place to sleep. It's a very, very touching, heartwarming story, and it's a very good story about the dedication that a man has to his son, and the trial and hardships that a person can endure and still come back from it. And in the end, he does get the job. And I won't tell you any more than that, but it's a very, very beautiful story. I love it. Have you seen it, Ira?
I have. It's a really good movie, definitely.
I love that one. So from there, let's see. We can go into... what do you want to do next? Let's see.
How about
you
want to
go to Mamma Mia and you could tell your story about it's your turn this week to do Mamma Mia?
Sure, we can do that.
Awesome.
So, okay. This one's a very humorous story from my younger days as far as my mom goes. It's kind of, I guess, one of those strange mother things. So, I had a best friend growing up named Tom Smith. This guy was great. I loved him. He was awesome. When we were about 10 years old, he was over at my house and we were having a little contest where we were throwing a slipper back and forth at each other from across the room. Now, Tom was on one side of the room. I was on the other side of the room. We were winging this slipper all over the place. Okay. Now, the doorway to my room was at a 90 degree angle from where we were at, you know, like to the left hand side. And I went to whip the slipper at Tom, and my mom walked through the door. And out of nowhere, this slipper does a 90 degree turn and thwacks her straight upside the face. No way this thing could have done other than like some weird magic intervention or something. Whip this slipper right at my mom, whacked her right upside the forehead. She just looks at me and she goes, "I'm your mother." And I'm like, "Yes, of course you're my mother." I could not believe it. Was the weirdest experience ever. Just out of nowhere, this thing just right upside her forehead.
Wow. And you didn't get like the bell or the
frying
pan?
No, she was rather indignant, but she walked away.
You got lucky.
I did. I thought I was going to get the beat in my life.
Too funny, Ira.
This
well,
is so
I
funny.
You just know what not to buy you for Christmas. No more slippers for you, buddy.
Just the reaction on her face. Just, I'm your mother.
Too funny. Oh, my gosh. Well, I guess we could go. Do you want to go into the music?
We can do that, yes.
Dancing and jamming music while we go pee?
indeed, because I got to go. So
awesome.
We'll be back with you guys as soon as the music is done. Dearly beloved.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else. The afterworld. A world of never-ending happiness. You can always see the sun. Day or night. So when you call up that shrink in Beverly Hills, you know the one. Doctor, everything will be alright. Instead of asking how much of your time is left, ask him how much of your mind, baby. Cause in this life, things are much harder than in the afterworld. This life, you're on your own. And if the elevator tries to break you down, take a look around. At least you got friends. I call my old lady for friendly word. She picked up the phone, dropped it on the floor. It's all I heard. I'm gonna let the elevator break us down. No, no, let's go. Let's go crazy. Let's get nuts. Let's look for the purpose. Let's go.
That song's from 1984 by Prince and the Revolution, and it's from Purple Rain. Now, Purple Rain is an awesome movie, man. I love Purple Rain so much. I'll tell you what, Prince is my jam. I used to listen to Prince all the time. I actually, now I'll tell you what, I had a big old standing ovation, you know, karaoke. Well, I went to a karaoke show one time with my brother Joe. And we got into the karaoke, and I brought up Purple Rain as my karaoke song. And I had everybody lighting lighters. They were like, oh, my God, you sound exactly like him. It's crazy how much I can get my voice to sound like Prince.
Awesome. Well, maybe we'll have to test that one of these nights here, Ira.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. I'll make you do the song for our dancing and jamming while we go pee break or something like that, maybe.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, never know. You'll hear it here first, folks, that's for sure.
Indeed.
We're different than anybody else, trust us. Well, I have the Way Cool affirmations this week. Energy seems to be a problem with a lot of people nowadays. We're tired, you know, the heat affects some of us, and you know, we're a little bit low on our life force. So this week's affirmation is, today I am brimming with energy and overflowing with joy. And just, you can post that on a post-it note, on your refrigerator, at your office desk, say it throughout the week, and see how it makes you feel. And once you start, the thing about affirmations is the more that you say them, you actually start to believe them, which changes your thought process, so that whatever it is that you're affirming to should actually come to fruition. And it's a really cool way to boost your, whatever you're working for, you know, whether it be your energy or your positivity or working to get rid of an old habit. Affirmations are a wonderful way to do that. And then for the scripture, I have Isaiah 40:31 from King Jimmy. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. I love that one. That's one of my favorites. So I just put that one in there. And then we should have probably, what, about 15 minutes left, Ira? Did we time it right?
Indeed.
Okay, so from here we can go into the Maggie's Guided Meditations. You ready for that, buddy?
The music is going.
Okay, if everybody could just sit back and relax, take a couple of deep breaths. I want you to start at the top of your head. Relax your head, your facial muscles, your neck, your shoulders, your upper arms, your upper torso, your diaphragm, your tummy. Continue to take deep breaths, very relaxed. Relax your abdomen, your lower arms, your wrists, your hands. Becoming even more and more relaxed, continuing to breathe. Relax your upper legs, your knees. Breathing peacefully, knowing that it's safe to let yourself go. You're totally protected. You're held in the hand of angels. There's nothing to fear. As you relax, you can feel all of the negativity leave your body, becoming at peace, continuing to breathe. Relax your calves, your ankles, and finally your feet, your toes. As you continue to breathe, a sense of peace overcomes you. You know that you're totally safe, totally protected. You sink deeper and deeper into your couch or your chair or your bed, wherever you are at this moment. And as you breathe and relax, you see before you a forest trail. It's deeply wooded. it's a dirt trail, and you decide to take that trail and see where it leads you. As you walk down the trail, you can hear the birds singing. The sunlight filters through the trees. It's a warm day, but not overly hot. You're totally comfortable. You feel totally safe. You walk along the path, which curves around a babbling brook. And as you explore the brook, you lean down, touch your fingers into the cool water, see a fish jump up. As you listen to the sights or the sounds of nature, you can hear the birds singing. You can hear frogs croaking in the distance. You allow yourself the feeling of the coolness of water to permeate from your fingertips through your whole body. Continuing to breathe, you lay down next to the brook. You get yourself comfortable, breathing slowly, feeling the warmth of the sun on your body as it filters through the trees. Breathing, you contemplate and think about all of the blessings that you have in your life and how lucky you are to be able to experience this beautiful day in a beautiful place. Continuing to breathe, focusing on the sounds of the water as it ripples over the rocks, hearing the birds, hearing the frogs, the occasional splash of a fish jumping. You relaxed even deeper and deeper. You're totally safe and protected. As you continue to breathe, all of the negativity has left your body. You're in a state of total, utter relaxation, almost to the point of sleep. As you continue to breathe, the sounds of the water, you can hear wind rustling through the trees ever gently. The soft breeze caresses your skin. It makes you feel even more relaxed and more at peace, thankful for the blessings of nature. Continuing to breathe deeply, your mind is totally clear. All of the negativity has left your body. As you know that you're totally safe and protected, you become one with nature. You feel as though you're a part of the ground that you lay on. Continuing to breathe deeply, your mind is at utter peace and stillness. Your cells are repairing themselves. New cells are forming. Disease is leaving your body. And you are healing yourself, becoming one with nature. Continuing to breathe deeply, the sounds of the water, the sounds of the leaves, the sounds of the birds. You can hear little woodland animals and deer gently making their way through the forest. And they're not afraid of you, and you're not startled by them. You're one with them. You're at peace with nature, at peace with everything that God has given you. Continuing to breathe. you're totally relaxed. You feel refreshed, peaceful, safe, relaxed. Breathing ever deeply, ever slowly. At this time, I'd like for you to start with your feet. Focus on your feet. You're becoming aware of the feeling of your toes as you wiggle them. Your feet. Your ankles. Breathing slowly. Your calves, your knees, and your thighs. All begin to become awakened and refreshed and rejuvenated and healed. Breathing still ever so gently and deeply. You can feel your hips, your abdomen, your stomach, your chest, your shoulders. Your arms begin to awaken from your shoulders, upper arms, elbows, lower arms, and then finally down to your wrists and your fingers. And as you breathe, still in a state of relaxation, but aware of relaxation, you wiggle your fingers and you can feel the earth again under your fingertips, the blades of grass. You feel your neck awaken and stretch. Turn your neck from side to side, breathing deeply, looking at the sights and sounds around you. In your head, slowly open your eyes and enjoy the sounds of nature. Enjoy the peaceful energy that's around you. Breathe deeply. You're now totally aware and awake, refreshed. No negativity in your body, no stress, but the peace and comfort and relaxation have stayed with you. Enjoy your evening, everyone. Thank you, Ira.
Thank you very much, Maggie, for everything that you do. I think that this has been a great meditation little thing, and hopefully everybody got something out of it. I know I did.
Were you sleeping on me?
Not yet, but...
I can hear you. I can feel you.
Shh, not me, never.
Well, thanks again, everybody, so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed it, and we're looking forward to seeing you again in a couple of weeks.
Indeed, and if you guys want to get a hold of us, you can send an email to feedback@openeyesnetwork.com. We're at Facebook, Twitter, Google+, you name it. We're at Open Eyes Network on all of those platforms. Maggie can be found at her website, maggiehart.com, and Maggie the Violet Nile on Facebook. And hopefully you guys are taking advantage and getting a hold of us. Let us know what you guys would love to hear on our shows. And we will talk to you again soon. Everybody out there, keep safe and have fun.
Good night, everybody. Thanks again.